You know, last week when I was sitting in the pew and Bob was speaking, one of my friends said, I've been hearing this story for the last 72 years. And she said she was never bored. Every year she hears about the Christmas story. I think it is true. Every year we watch the same Christmas movies, and also we sing same Christmas carol. Still, it we don't get bored. It is so good. I like to have that Christmas smell, kind of a tree and the smell and Christmas lights and Christmas gifts. And we have in our family a tradition. For last several years we've been doing, we write letters, we call it newsletter, and we send to all our friends. Some of them may not even remember us, but we just send and we just give them an update. And we also send Christmas cards. I think it is wonderful. Yesterday, our home group, our friend, about 10 families joined together. We went for Christmas carol. Rationally thinking, we would be thinking, oh, why are we doing this one? Going from home to home, 6 to 7 hours. But it is wonderful tradition. Amazing. It gave us Christmas spirit. And we started in Murphy and ended in Dallas, visited several homes, sang Christmas songs. We read passages, drank coffee and tea and, milk, chocolate milk and all those things. It was wonderful. Kids were running around and, it is a big education for the kids. And they are seeing, oh, this is a special season. When I became a Christian, I used to rationalize, why should we celebrate Christmas? Oh, December is like other months. It is true. But it is a wonderful occasion for us to refresh our memory of the Christmas story. Think about the Christmas characters. John the Baptist came to prepare the way for the Lord. Joseph came to be Jesus' foster father. And we saw some principles last week. Today, we will look at Mary, and the passage was read to us. Probably Luke chapter 1 is one of the longest chapters in the New Testament. We have two dominant stories. We have in the first part of Luke 1, we have Zechariah, Elizabeth, and John the Baptist story. And the second part, we have Mary's Annunciation, or angel appearing to Mary and telling her that she was going to be conceived. When you study these two passages side by side, the first verses 5 to 24, we read about Zechariah. We don't even read about Elizabeth that much. Zechariah was a priest. He was a part of a Levite family who would go to the temple serve for 2 weeks a year. And he was, in order to serve in the temple, one has to be educated in the scriptures. That means whoever was serving in the temple was well informed of God's plan for the nation Israel and for the whole world. And he was also an old man. That means, he was a seasoned person who knew the scripture so well. But you come to the passage that was read to us today from 26 to 45 of Luke chapter 1. We see a young girl. Bob said last week she was probably 15 or 16. If my assumption is correct, she is younger than that. And she did not live in Jerusalem. She lived up in north, a place called Nazareth. I was in Nazareth 2 years ago. Now, it is kind of a small town, 60% Muslims and probably 35% Christians, and the rest are Jews. It is a small place, mountainous place, and there is a small area they have designated as Jesus' village. When you go there, and they have some kind of demonstration of a tent, a carpenter's house, and how people lived in the first century. It's amazing. Mary was born and she was growing up in that small village. Probably she did not have so much of formal education as we all have in schools. And she probably did not have a lot of cultural influences as people in Jerusalem had, like Zechariah and Elizabeth and people who lived in Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was the center for culture, education, and administration, whereas Nazareth was an insignificant place. But when you look at these two stories side by side, Luke is bringing or drawing a comparison between Zechariah, the priest, who was elderly, and Elizabeth, who was, Mary, who was young, not married, unschooled. I would like to really show you some comparison here. Zechariah was religious and served in the temple all his life, whereas Mary was ordinary, unschooled from Nazareth. And when the message of the angel came to Zechariah, Zechariah was skeptical. He was not willing to believe. Whereas Mary believed without reservation. See the comparison? Zechariah, a religious man. Mary, who was not that sophisticated, and she did not have all the influences Zechariah had, but she believed without reservation. Zechariah was old, beyond the scope of bearing a child, whereas Mary was young and unmarried. You know, the comparison is kind of two extremes. One is old age. Another one is too young. Extremities. You know, when the message came, although Mary was unmarried, young, she was willing to believe, whereas Zechariah, old man, beyond the scope of bearing children, having known all the scripture and scriptural background, he was not willing to believe. This is what I believe. Zechariah represents contemporary religious leaders. You know, they will have all the knowledge of this world, and they will know the scripture so well, but they will not be willing to believe. Whereas Mary was a you can show the next slide. Mary was a precursor to future believers. You know, think of Zechariah. Message was given to him right in the temple. Angel of the Lord was standing there. And when he said, he did not believe. If you look at verse 20, there he protested to angel Gabriel. If Gabriel was the one who appeared to John the Zechariah, he said, "How can this be? I am old." Whereas when the message came to Mary, she said, "Let it happen to me. I am your servant." So this is a wonderful one. Are we in this camp representing contemporary religious group? You go to seminaries, Bible schools, or religious centers. They will have songs, Bible studies, lot of religious activities, but when it comes to believing God, they use rationality. They don't believe that people get saved when you preach the gospel. It was a problem 2,000 years back, even today. Whereas you go to some ordinary, unsophisticated villages, you will see some people preaching the gospel, leading people to Christ, and baptizing them. When we have churches with hundreds and thousands of people who restrict Christianity within the four walls of the church, there are people out in the field. They are busy baptizing. You know why? The difference is, one is in the camp of John the Zechariah, the other one is in the camp of Mary. And I would like to be in the camp of Mary. I don't want to practice my Christianity within the four walls of a comfortable church. But I like to stay outside and ask the Lord, "Lord, do you want to use me?" And with that, we will ask a question. What kind of person was Mary? You know, Christmas time is a time we can really study about these personalities. We ask the same question about John the Baptist. I think we highlighted some of the important points about John the Baptist. Today we have to ask, what kind of person was Mary? Mary was a person of simple faith. You take verse 38 and also 45. Verse 38 says, Or 37 on verse, I'll read. For nothing will be impossible with God. So Mary said, yes, I am a servant of the Lord. Let this happen to me according to your word. She said, rationally speaking, naturally speaking, it cannot happen. I'm not married. I'm a young girl. And I'm not ready to bear child. But let it happen to me. And the biggest passage or verse that I stumbled on this week is 45. And Elizabeth says like this, and blessed is she who believed that what was spoken to her by the Lord would be fulfilled. Blessed is the one, not the one who has houses and money and all the influences in the world, but blessed is the one who believes what God said to happen. So Mary was a person of simple faith. If you were to look at Bible from Genesis to Revelation, if you were to highlight some of the people who have done amazing work, they were not or they are not people with a lot of abilities, but they are people who were willing to or who had the audacity to believe God. Think of Mary and Martha. Jesus comes to Mary and Martha's house 3 days after their brother passed away. And Martha said, Lord, he died 3 days back. He may be, the body may be stinking. This is what Jesus said. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Believe, faith is the door by which God enters into your life and He works. We have our father Abraham. You and me are called the descendants of Abraham, not biologically, but through our faith. Abraham was 95 years old. Angel of the Lord comes to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 and said, you are going to be the father of the nations. And he believed. It was reckoned as righteousness to him. You know why? He did not believe in his ability and the rational reasons, but he believed in God's word. It is better to believe in God's word than believing all human possibilities and impossibilities. When the disciples were asked, make them sit. Jesus asked the disciples, go and tell all these 5,000 people. I went to that place. It is a beautiful place. Easily 5,000 people can sit in the in that mount or mountain or a small hill. And if Jesus spoke to a group of people, easily he could have spoken to all 5,000 people or even more than that. Anyway, there he tells the disciples, make them sit there. And he takes the 5 loaves and 2 fishes from this small boy. And he was willing to give. And these 5,000 people had the courage to sit for a lunch or dinner. I think that is faith. The disciples had the courage to let all these people in that mountain with an expectation that Jesus was going to feed them. And I think that is the beginning of Christianity. Even today. Faith is the beginning of Christianity. It is not the kind of faith that we get it here. But a faith in God's word and acting upon it. Angel of the Lord came to Mary and said, this is what's going to happen. And she said, okay, let it happen. I am your servant. And the angel of the Lord said, your cousin who is elderly, she is conceived. And Mary went from Galilee to Judea, probably about 200 miles from north to south. That is an act of faith. That is an act of faith. You see Noah, 40 years before the flood, he started building the boat or the ship. I think that is an act of faith. Why you and me are not able to do what some of the giants, spiritual giants did? We are living in two poles. When it comes to church, we say we believe, but when it comes to action, we don't believe. I always tell people in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, if someone says believe, it is completely different from what we suppose to be believing is, or to believing is. For us, believing is just, okay, I understand, I take it. But in the biblical world, believing is doing. If I believe that Jesus Christ came to this world, died on the cross for me, and he rose again on the third day, and if I believe the power of the gospel, I will go and announce. If I don't announce, if I don't stand in the street corners and just with a loudspeaker, if I don't speak, I don't have the faith. So, the conclusion is this. There are a lot of professing Christians, but they cannot be equated to Mary in this passage. You know, that is why D.L. Moody said, give me 100 people who believe without any reservation in the power of the gospel, I will change the world. We don't need too many people in this world to change this world. You know, it took only 12 disciples. Out of 12 disciples, one got killed in Acts 12. But these 11 guys went around and changed the world upside down. You know why? They believed and acted on it. So, we'll come back to Mary. Mary was a person of simple faith. And Mary submitted to the plan of God. God disclosed this plan like this here. So angel said to her, verse 30, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Listen, you will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I have not had sexual relationship with a man? The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. Verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. The angel unfolded the plan to Mary. It did not make a lot of sense to Mary, but she believed and she submitted. And she uses a word here in verse 38. So Mary said, yes, I am your servant. She says, here I am, a handmaid, a servant. You know, the word servant here is I'm your slave. This morning I was watching a documentary about slaves in Pompeii, city of Pompeii in Naples. Slaves did not have any right even to protect their body. If someone demanded it in the middle of the night or someone demanded it in the early morning hours, they had to go. Because they are slaves. If they work 24 hours and master comes and says, you know, you need to work for 12 more hours, they had to do it. That is a slave. And here is Mary, and she says, here I am, your handmaid, your slave. Use me. All Mary did was, she let her womb for 9 months to God. It did not, you know, it cost her a lot. You know, she was called an unfaithful person in Mark chapter 6 verse 3 and John 8, 41, 42. We read that Mary had, a kind of a reputation that she was not faithful. But that's all right. She was willing to submit to the plan of God, even though it involved a lot of inconveniences. You can never accomplish plan of God without sacrifice. You cannot have a successful prayer life if you are not willing to sacrifice your sleep. You cannot baptize 10 people every month if you cannot sacrifice your time and going and declaring gospel outside. You cannot see Africa coming to know the Lord without you sacrificing and giving for the work of the Lord. And you can just talk about that more and more and more. You know, when you give sacrificially, when you are willing to join with God in His plan, there is always a blessing. And Mary submitted to the plan of God, even though it involved so much of inconveniences. Then we can just probe further about Mary. What kind of person was Mary? Mary grew from a simple believer to a disciple. You see, in Luke chapter 1, she was just an ordinary girl in Nazareth. But you see, come to John chapter 2, where Jesus converted water into wine, and the whole blessing and the first miracle in the Gospel of John, Mary was involved. And you see, John chapter 19, Mary was standing next to where Jesus was being crucified. And in Acts 1:14, we see Mary was with the 120 disciples who received the Holy Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost. I see an evolution in the life of Mary. She started as an ordinary believer, and she evolved into a disciple. I think this Christmas season, we can think about our life. Am I remaining as just a believer? Always think about 1983, I made a commitment to the Lord. But who am I and what am I today? That is more important, particularly during this Christmas, than living in our past. When we put our graph, will we be able to say my graph is going up or it is plateaued? In some sense, it is going down the valley. I think that is the story of most of us. But if we want to have a wonderful Christmas this year, we have to learn from Mary here is, you know, you have to, you know, make progress from being a disciple to, being a believer to a disciple. She gave womb to God to carry out God's plan through Mary. She partnered with God. And slowly she became a disciple and she became one of the members of early church. You know, if we were to allegorize a little bit here, you and me can be like Mary. And we can make Jesus be born in the life of other people. If two young boys had not come and spoke to me, if they had not come and shared gospel with me, probably I would not be standing here talking. You know, they worked on me for 3 months. Every day they would come, please come to the church. Please come to the church. And after that, they would be just walking with me. And they were praying for me until Christ was born in my life. And here I am, standing before you. And I think Mary did the same thing, partnered with God. You know, when you are so busy with making cakes, buying clothes, you know, sending cards to your friends, are you willing to partner with God in some way or other? What lesson do we learn from Mary? That is the next question we need to ask. What kind of lesson we learn from her? We can become an instrument of God regardless of our socio-economic, cultural, and religious background. Just because you have a seminary degree, just because you are born in a Christian home, just because you are son and daughter of a very popular pastor, doesn't mean that you will accomplish a lot of things. What the lesson we learn from Mary is, God can use you and me, however frail we are, however weak we are, however untrained we are, it doesn't matter. You know, this morning I got an email from one of our friends here. Availability is more important than the ability. All the abilities that we have. Availability is more important. You know, the most important, deficient commodity that we have in our church is availability. We are so packed, including myself, from Monday to Sunday, and we don't have time to partner with God. As a result, church is staying weak because God wants to use Our faith, your faith, and my faith. You think of anything. I was working for an organization in India for 14 years. They started from nothing to something. So many Christian leaders have come out of that organization. That gentleman, the founder of the organization, who is my mentor, he used to say that organization, when they started, there was a man from Karnataka. He had 3,000 rupees that he got as a kind of share from his property somewhere. And he said, "Brother Thomas, I don't know how to use this 3,000 rupees in 1969. He said, "Just use this one to do something for the Lord." That 3,000 rupees is just multiplied maybe 2,000 times, 10,000 times, because that was out of faith. He made the provision available to God, and God multiplied it. You think of anything, any movement in the world, they will not start without faith. You know, sometimes I think, "Oh, I'm trained. I can talk to people." That is not important. You know, I may be able to build organizations. I may be able to have a lot of money and people working with me, but I will not be able to save, and I will not be able to create a movement until that starts on our knees with our availability to God and telling God, "God, I believe you are able to do it. You are able to make a old woman conceive, and you are able to make young unmarried woman to conceive. Lord, you are able to make way in the wilderness and reverse in the water," and acting upon it is very important. You may be anyone. You may be up there, or you may be down there. You may be a housewife, or you may be a husband making a lot of money. It doesn't matter. If God wants to use you, you have to become available to Him. By simple faith and obedience, we can partner with God in making Jesus be born in the lives of others. By simple faith and obedience, you know, we can partner with God, making Christ be born in the lives of others. We don't need to go into the details of Dallas-Fort Worth. We can just look at our own neighborhood. They desperately need Jesus Christ. But Jesus is not going to reach those people without you. But you have to be willing to be available to Him. The takeaway we have is this. You know, Christmas time, we have several takeaways. And I don't want to really give some kind of guilt to you. And I would say you go ahead and celebrate Christmas really well. And have friends, make biryanis and cakes, and, you know, travel around. That's wonderful. But the best way to celebrate Christmas, I'll give you three challenges. But, you know, one is going to be our takeaway. But before that, I'd like to share with you. Find out what God's command or demand you've been rejecting or delaying because it is rationally impossible. What is one thing you have been postponing all these days, thinking that it doesn't make sense to me? Think about it. You know, are you postponing a decision to go and visit with your neighbor and share gospel because you know that that person is a scientist, that person an intelligent man? And you are thinking, "Man, I cannot go and share gospel with this person." If you are delaying, maybe, you know, from the life of Mary, you can make a decision. "I have to go and boldly share my faith with that person." Or you may be thinking, "I know this ministry needs money. And I have been just waiting because this money, I cannot just give it to that person because, you know, my savings will be depleted." If you are delaying it, this is the best time you can think about obeying God. When you obey, God will start acting. Find out what God's command or demand you believed, but you have not obeyed. It's an important, you know, we know all the commands of God. But the question is, are we obeying? If you don't obey, it's better not to know. What is the use of just knowing the gospel, knowing God's demands and God's prompting? You know the story of two brothers. The older brother said, I will go and do it. But he just stayed in. Second brother said, I will not do it. But still he went and did it. Who is the better of these two? The one who did it. That is why sometimes we see God's blessing is happening through someone else. We will become jealous. Oh, that person, God is using that ministry. God is using that family. Or God is just letting those people see so many souls coming. It's because we know, but we are not obeying. So, the takeaway today for our Christmas, those of you who will not be here next week, and those of us who will come here next week to celebrate Christmas is this. Believe God and obey Him. Believe God. And the next step is obey, which is the most suitable way to celebrate Christmas. And it is between you and me. It can be small one, big one. And my wife and I have been debating these days. What is one thing we need to do that is not rationally, we are not able to answer it. When people ask certain things, we are not able to answer it, but are we willing to commit when we are so much convinced about God's demand? I believe and do I obey? Let that be our Christmas question this evening as we go from here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for life of Mary. We can learn a lot of good things from her. An ordinary person. Like Lord, some of us here. But Lord, you called her to be an extraordinary person because of her faith and her willingness to obey. Help us, Heavenly Father, to believe and obey this evening. We pray for our families here and our individuals here. Bless them, Heavenly Father. This Christmas season will give them freshness, rest, peace, and blessings which, Lord, they have not expected. It may be financial, spiritual, or something to do with their future life. Grant to them, Heavenly Father. We pray for those who are traveling this week, who will not be with us this week, coming week. We pray that you bless them, grant them journey mercies, Lord. We pray for Sharon, and we pray for Ethan, we pray for Sean, and Shanti, and Elena. As they travel, may your grace and blessings be upon them. Lord, help us not to be just hearers of your word, but Lord, help us to become doers of your word. Because your word is a two-edged sword. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.